Are there any fans out there of the old television series Gunsmoke? I know I'm looking at one right there. Let me see a raise of hands. It's nearly everybody then. I've really gotten back into it in the last several months. If you have been a fan of the show, you're going to know what I'm about to say. Marshall Dillon seemed to have to take care of people who were injured from gunshots in nearly every episode. And when that would happen, he would tell a group of men to take that injured man up to Doc Adams' office. And when I say up, I mean up the stairs. These were outside staircases, looks like about 20 steps or so. And so no matter whether it was 100 degrees or windy or rainy or a blizzard, remember they're in Kansas, that's an outside staircase. So to get the person up to Doc's office would be very difficult. And I've always wondered, after all those years, wouldn't they have at some point said, the people of Dodge City said, hey, let's get him a ground floor office. But that seemed to never happen. Here's the thing, it's inconvenient and sometimes almost impossible to climb upstairs when you've been injured or for people to carry you up a set of stairs like that. And yet in today's scripture, the people who need Jesus to heal them or a friend or a family member will have to climb up. They will have to climb up a hill to get to Jesus. So let's get right into our first set of verses. Matthew 15, 29 to 31. Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. A vast crowd brought him to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking, and the blind could see again. And then listen to this last note. And they praised the God of Israel. Now this event, these are our next verses in Matthew, but this very event was also recorded in the book of Mark, and it has even more detail. So let me read that, and then we'll cover them both together. It's from Mark chapter 7. Jesus left Tyre and went up to Sidon before going back to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the 10 towns, or called Decapolis. A deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. Jesus led him away from the crowd so that they could be alone. He put his fingers into the man's ears, and then spitting on his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, which means be opened. Instantly, the man could heal perfectly, and his tongue was freed so he could speak plainly. Jesus told the crowd not to tell anyone, but the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news. They were completely amazed and said again and again, everything he does is wonderful. He even makes the deaf to hear and gives speech to those who cannot speak. Just prior to this event, Jesus was in the region of Tyre and Sidon, where he had healed, if you remember last week's message, he healed the demon-possessed daughter of that very persistent mom. That was last week's teaching. That was last week's healing message. Today, Jesus is healing again. And heal all. Both Matthew and Mark mention the crowds. A vast crowd brought people to Jesus to be healed, and he healed them all. And I will repeat what I said last week. Jesus is still able to heal people who are suffering. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Sometimes we are the ones suffering and we bring ourselves to Jesus. And other times we can be the ones who bring suffering people to him. Who do you know that needs a healing touch? Well, we've mentioned some names already. So we've already lifted them up to God. And we'll keep doing that. And there's a couple ways that we can help. We can bring them to Jesus through prayer, or we can bring them to Jesus through explaining the hope that we have in Christ. And then we let Christ do the healing. In His way, in His time, and according to His will. Remember, verse 29 of Matthew said that Jesus climbed a hill and then sat down. Then the crowd brought people who needed healed to Him. And what makes these healings on the hill unique was that it was exceptionally difficult for the kinds of people that needed healing. Many of them were lame. They were crippled. They were blind. But the text specifically says that the crowd brought them. They had to. The crowd had to put extra effort into reaching Jesus with this lame person, this blind person. And He did not make it easy for them to do that. It was not a convenient location. Probably many of them had to be carried. So here's the first question for you. How far or how much work would you put into carrying someone to Christ? How much would you put into that? Let's get it even a little closer to home. How many of you would carry your 400-pound pastor to Jesus? Well, I don't see a hand. I may have to start looking for another church, Roy. Mike's got a tractor. Well, another thing that stands out is that these healings were things that could not be faked. These were not merely people with aches and pains. The healings were substantial and verifiable. For instance, it's really hard to fake being blind. Surely someone would catch your head moving as the server at Malone's in Lexington passes by with their $25 piece of amazing, wonderful chocolate cake. Only a chocoholic would pay $25 for a piece of chocolate cake. Hi, I'm Bob, and I'm a chocoholic.
And Mexican food, too.
There you go. Surely it would be hard to fake being deaf. Of course, unless you're a husband who's been married for 47 years, then it's a little easier, right, Jan?
Right.
Just one amen there. You know, I've been using a walker since just before my back surgery. That was 15 months ago. Believe me, I am not faking it. But that's enough about me. Let's get back to the crowd who brought these people to Jesus for their healing. And their response is noteworthy, again, as Jesus healed them all. So the crowd marveled, Scripture tells us, as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. And that last phrase is what's significant. I want to point it out. Mark indicates that these miracles happened in the region of Sidon, or the Ten Towns, also called Decapolis. That was an area of lots of ethnic blending. We would call it an area of diversity. The lost sheep of Israel were mingling openly with many Gentiles. Religious practices were most likely a spiritual patchwork of both Judaism and paganism. But since Jesus came for both the Jews and the Gentiles, heal all. Just look at the result of the healings Jesus performed. The God of Israel got all the attention and glory. And that was monumental. Jesus was not only just outshining the religious leaders of Israel, but He was also obscuring the pagan gods of the Gentiles. We learn an important lesson about biblical healings. we might assume that Jesus healed people only to make their lives better. And that would make sense. And that's a wonderful outcome that many people had. But I don't believe it was the main reason he healed people. Jesus' primary purpose for healing was to glorify God and to advance the gospel. And with that said, it makes sense that this is God's primary purpose for healing people, for healing us today. We take time every Sunday in our service to allow testimonies from the congregation of how God has healed us, a family member or a friend. We don't do it just to fill up a certain amount of time to be at church. The primary purpose of our testimonies is to praise God, to glorify God. It's part of our worship of God. Now, we can and should give thanks to people like first responders, to doctors, to nurses, therapists, medicines, but above all, God gets the glory. While others that I've mentioned and more are a resource for healing, God is the source of healing. It's evident from these verses that the stories from the healings on the hill that day spread far and wide, even though Jesus told them not to. But he couldn't help it. They couldn't help it. He's headline news. He was going viral. If they had been using TikTok back in those days, Jesus would have been a major influencer with thousands upon thousands of followers. And while Matthew covers this event in general, Mark gets very specific. So that's where I'd like to finish. Remember, Mark said a deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to Jesus. But instead of healing him in front of the crowd, which apparently he did all the others, Jesus led him away from the crowd so that they could be alone. Apparently Mark saw it. Maybe other disciples did. And then what happens next, to me, is a little weird. Is it okay to say that about Scripture? That something Jesus does seems a little weird? What did he do? He put his fingers in the man's ears. And then spitting on his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. This sounds more like a setup of a Three Stooges skit rather than an event with Jesus. Until I thought and remembered, there was a time where Jesus took his spit and some dirt and made mud pies and put it on a blind man's eyes and healed him that way. So back to the spit for just a minute. I have way too many memories of my mom giving me spit baths. And apparently I'm not the only one. So you know what I'm talking about. Well, this is a ritual before we would go to town, or on our way to town even, or to grandma's house. Apparently I never did an adequate job of washing my face as a kid. She would grab a tissue and then wet it down with her spit, and then she'd wipe all the dirt off. And I remember that I hated every minute of that. Putting my head back. I hated every minute of it, especially when I was going to college. So after reading this scripture, I guess spit is more than just a body cleanser. For Jesus, it was used to heal. And let's keep in mind, I think most people will miss this. Let's keep in mind that this guy that Jesus healed was deaf and mute, not blind. So he watched as Jesus spit on his own fingers. He watched as Jesus opened the man's mouth and stuck his spit-drenched fingers to touch his tongue. And I believe probably he learned to read lips over the years. He watched as Jesus mouthed the words, "Be opened. Be opened." And at that moment, he forgot all about the spit, because he could instantly hear perfectly and he could instantly speak plainly. Our God heals. He can heal anyone of anything. He can heal the blind, the deaf, the lame, the crippled, the mute. He can heal of any disease, including cancer. He can heal the mind. And just like in the story of Lazarus, he can heal people from death and raise them up back to life. Here's my closing thoughts. God can heal, but it's up to him if he will heal. Let me say that again. God can heal, but it's up to him if he will heal. It's up to us to ask for it ourselves, and it's up to us to bring the names of others to God and ask for their healing. And then we wait. And as Sheila has said hundreds, probably thousands of times, and then we trust in the Lord for him to do his will. And just like the people on the hill that day and many other times, he may heal on this side of eternity, but he also may heal on the other side of eternity and take us to heaven. Remember, all healing, don't forget this, all healing on this side of eternity is temporary anyway. Every person that Jesus healed that day on the hill eventually died. Even the man with Jesus' spit on his tongue. So no matter what physical, mental, or emotional healing God wills for us, we will eventually leave this life. And yet I've saved the very best news for last. For those of us that are genuine Christ followers, remember that your last exhale on this earth will be followed by your first inhale in heaven, just that quickly. So no more doctor appointments. No more prescription refills. No more physical therapy. No more walker, wheelchairs, or canes. No more contact lenses. No more dead hearing aid batteries. In heaven, you'll never show your insurance card again. No EOBs coming in the mail, clogging it up. Here's my final thought. As Christians, one day we will all be completely healed. God, he'll heal eternally. Can I get an amen?
Amen.